How do you feel when you go through a storm? Maybe right now you're facing some storm. Just last night I talked with several people and was at a birthday gathering for one of our church family. And one person told me, pray for my sister. She's scheduled to go this Tuesday in for a serious situation. Pray for her Tuesday. I talked with another man just shortly after that, last night. He said, pray for me. He said, I've got a job situation. I'm not really sure about it. I talked with a couple just a couple of days ago that said, pray for us. We've run up some credit card debt, and we're facing some storms. And then shortly after that, I talked with a gentleman about some family storms. Just last night when I left the get-together, I got a telephone call from a man who's a deacon at a church in the area. And he said, Pastor, our pastor is put in the hospital. And he said, do you know anybody that can preach this today, which would be this morning? And so I made some calls and found a man that was able to fill in this morning. Storms. We all face storms. I talked with a couple of teenagers last night, and they said, you know, we're fixing to go to college, and we've never been to college before. Storms. We all go through storms. I tell you what prompted this message. We were over on Lake Jackson having an old-fashioned baptism service back the first Sunday in June, and I wish I had the pictures to verify. In the background are some dark clouds, and we're standing in the water and celebrating together these precious souls who had trusted the Lord Jesus and were baptized. And then just in the background, the lightning is flashing across the sky. We had hardly gotten our vehicle heading back to the church when literally the bottom fell out. Well, after I got home and as we were on the bus and getting back ready, we thought, and I began to think, and the Lord began to prompt on my heart about storms. And it was not fully developed until this week. And so I'm convinced you're going through some storm, through the storms. That's the title of the message today. Through the storms. Speaking of storms, have you been keeping up with this terrible situation over in Thailand? These boys and coach that are trapped in this cave. Have you been keeping up with that? I've been reading bits and pieces, and my understanding today, they're going to make a rescue attempt. I mean, they don't have a choice. The monsoon rains are coming. And if you've not been keeping up with it, basically a coach and his players, 12 of which I believe, had gone into this cave. It's somewhere, best I can remember, about 6 miles long. And yet they're about 2 miles into this cave. When they went into the cave, there was no problem. They could have gotten out very easily. However, the rain began to come and fill up the low places in the cave where only scuba divers can go in there. And the currents are so treacherous. In fact, one of the rescue SEAL team members died because of a lack of oxygen. It's a very serious situation. And yet today it appears that they're making attempts to, the boys can't swim, and they've shown pictures of them. And you can imagine what it would be like to be a parent with your child stuck in a cave somewhere, and you don't know if they're going to make it out or not. As I said, the rains are coming, and so it appears that they're going to make an effort. They're perched on a ledge. These boys are, been there for about 14 days, I believe. And so they're going through a storm, through the storms. We all face storms, and maybe today you're facing some kind of storm, a physical storm, a spiritual storm, an emotional storm. What kind of storm are you facing today? I heard about a old captain that was interviewing a young captain. Well, he was really a new recruit into the Navy. And the old captain was drilling him as he was interviewing him. He said, young sailor, he said, what would you do if you were on a boat and a storm blew up in the front of the boat? What would you do? And the young recruit said, I'd throw out an anchor, sir. I'd throw out an anchor. And the older captain said to him, well, what would you do if you had a storm in the front of the boat and a storm coming up in the back of the boat? What would you do? The young recruit said, sir, I'd throw out an anchor in the back, sir. I'd throw out an anchor in the back. Well, the older recruiter said to him, he said, well, what would you do if you had a storm coming in the front, storm coming to the back, and storm coming from the right side of the ship? What would you do? And the young recruit said, I'd throw out an anchor, sir. I'd throw out an anchor. And then finally the older recruit officer said, the old captain said, well, what would you do if you had a storm on the front and the back and the right and then the left side of the ship? What would you do? And the young recruit said, I'd throw out another anchor, sir. I'd throw out another anchor. Well, about that time, the old captain said, where in the world are you going to get all these anchors? The young recruit looked at him and said, I guess the same place you're getting all these storms, all right? Well, you're facing a storm today, and I believe we're all facing. By the way, if you're not in a storm, you're coming out of a storm. And if you're not coming out of a storm, you're fixing to get ready to go into a storm. So this message is applicable to every single one of us. I said all that to tell you this. I've got some good news. There are three reasons today that you and I ought to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because we're all facing storms. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And here we're going to see these examples in the scripture concerning storms. I begin reading in verse number 23, Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. You're well aware of the geographical setting of our Lord at this particular point. He, by the way, Jesus is greater than your storm. If you believe that, say amen. Yes, he's greater. Notice, he's greater than your storm. And by the way, here is right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the geographical location. The Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long, and it's about 7 miles wide. And so it's not a great big sea per se. It's a fresh water, and we had the privilege of being there just a few years ago. And we're going to see the storms, and hopefully relate to that to your life. The storms of life. I began reading in verse number 23, if you'd like to stand to read this wonderful account in the Matthew's Gospel. We're going to see our Lord is in the area of the Sea of Galilee. Again, he had just made this discourse of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, namely in Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and then chapter 7. He had been baptized, but John in the Jordan led to the wilderness and beginning his earthly ministry. He had already chosen his disciples at this point, and you'll notice in chapter 8 and verse 23, I began reading, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Underline that word followed. We'll come back to it in a moment. His disciples followed him. That's important now. Don't miss that. His disciples followed him. Say that with me. His disciples followed him. Say it again. Are you following the Lord? I said, are you following the Lord? I said, is there anybody here that's following the Lord? Amen. Yes, I am, Pastor. Verse 24. And behold, there rose a great tempest. That means a tempestuous. That means a mighty powerful storm. There arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Get the picture. It's about to sink. But he was asleep. Wow. This storm came billowing up. And by the way, let me pause for a moment to simply say this. If you know the Sea of Galilee, it's interesting to note that I was looking for a video to show you, but at any rate, you can get the picture. As you're sailing along on this sea, you can look out along the horizon and see mountains. They circle the Sea of Galilee. I said all that to say this. It's 682 feet below sea level. Some suggest it's the second lowest place on the earth, besides, I might add, the Dead Sea. And yet, at a heartbeat, you can be sailing on the Sea of Galilee, sun shining, beautiful day. In a heartbeat, a storm will blow up because of the location geographically. And so it is in life, brother. Today things may be going good and you might not be going through a storm, but it might be just at the drop of a hat. A storm blow up, but I believe most of us are going through some storm. Keep reading verse 24. I want to repeat verse 24. But behold, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. They were afraid. Don't act like you don't get afraid sometimes when you go through a storm. We all do. Verse 26. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Tell me, what kind of faith do you have? Is it milli faith? Is it mega? Is it little? Is it small? Is it no faith? Or is it great faith? What kind of faith are you going to exercise today? Then look at verse 26. He said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye little faith? Then he arose. That is Jesus. Well, that's a key word. And rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. I just want to stop right there and say hallelujah. I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the calm. I want to thank you, Lord, for the peace. And some of you don't have peace today. But I'm telling you, you can find it in the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute. Keep reading. And then, verse 27. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is the living word of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for you're the master of the sea. You're the captain of our salvation. You know the storms that all of us are facing and that we will face both today and in the future if you tarry. I know you know the storms we've already been through. God, I thank you for your mighty presence, your power, your peace. And we ask now to minister to our hearts, to give us grace to call upon your name and yield and submit ourselves under your mighty hand that we might be exalted in due time, casting all our care upon you, as Peter said. We love you, Lord, today. Thank you for your precious cleansing blood. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is not a fairy tale, but you literally demonstrated your omnipotent power, all authority over nature. And so therefore, God, I know you know us. I know you know every situation. You know when a sparrow falls to the earth. And so we ask now, help us call upon you right now and turn our fear into faith. And we give you glory now, what you're doing in the hearts of your people, because you're worthy, changing lives, saving souls, reviving the saints, and being enthroned in our heart and in your church. In Jesus' name we give thanks, Father, as we expect you to do great things. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. Jesus is greater than your storm. Through the storms. Are you ready? Here we're going. I want to tell you, and I'll show you, so don't worry if you don't get it all down. Don't worry. We'll have it up here. Number one, the first reason you and I ought to turn to the Lord. Why we ought to call upon the Lord. You know why? Number one, because when, y'all listen now, when you're going to follow Jesus, when you follow Jesus, I said, when you follow Jesus, you can expect to go through a storm. I said, when you follow Jesus, you can expect to go through a storm. And by the way, you're going to go through a storm anyway, and it might as well be with Jesus outside the storm without him. Amen. So the storms are going to come. But wait a minute. The Lord Jesus, listen to me, he didn't say, I'll take you from the storm, but he did say, I will be with you in the storm. That's a great place to say, hallelujah. That's a great place to say, thank you, Lord. Shabbat. You know, we learned that word last week. To shout. If that don't make you shout, I don't know what will. If that don't motivate you to love the Lord, I don't know what will. Number one, when you and I follow Jesus, as the disciples did, we'll see that in verse 23 and 24, then you can expect to go through the storms. Number two, there's a second reason I find in the text that Lord put on my heart. And it's this, not only when you follow Jesus can you expect to go through the storm, but number two, if you agree with me, when you follow Jesus and you're going through a storm, you're going to face some fear. Now, y'all don't look at me like you're macho and you don't face fear. I don't believe it. You go through a big storm. You go through a mighty tempest, not only physically, but spiritually speaking and emotionally, and you will be afraid. It's just the nature of us to shrink back in fear. But wait a minute. There's a third reason I see it. We're going to see it not only in verse 23 and 24, and then that's verse 25 and 26, but number three, when you go through a storm, when you follow Jesus, rather, you can expect a storm. You can expect to face some fears. But wait a minute. Don't forget to call upon the Lord to save you. Don't forget, because He will turn your fear into faith. I said He'll turn your fear into faith. I said, I know He'll turn your fear into faith. I said, He's done it in my life, and He's done it in your life. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm telling you, God's been the master of the sea. He's been there with you when you've been through a storm. Is there anybody in the house of God today that can testify that said, I've been through a storm, but thank God, God brought me through the storm? He is the master of the sea. So number one, when you follow Jesus, watch this, you can expect to go through a storm. That's right, here it is. When you follow Jesus, you can expect to go through a storm. Look at it again in verse 23 of the text. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, and he was asleep. This should be 23. I changed it on my particular external hard drive, so add verse 23 right here. But I didn't change it on the one on the computer here. Anyway, verse 23, when you follow Jesus, you can expect a storm. I can see the disciples right now. Peter, James, John, y'all going to follow Jesus? I have decided to follow Jesus. I can hear them singing now. I have decided to follow Jesus. And Peter and John, I have decided. Hey, John, you know that second Santa? Yeah, I know that. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Yes, though none go with me, I'm still going to follow. What about that third verse? You know that, James? Yeah, I think I know it. It says, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross. I have decided to follow. What's that black cloud? John? Looks like a storm's coming up. The disciples had just sung the song, wherever he leads, I'll go. Isn't that like us? And then we hit a storm. As, oh, God, I didn't know I was going to be going through a storm. I didn't understand following you would entail me going through a storm in my life. You've been there too, hadn't you? And today we get this misunderstanding about the Christian life that just because you become a Christian, you're not going to have to go through any troubles or trials or afflictions or storms. That ain't true. It's just not true. Why? Because I'll be honest with y'all. Listen to me. I've been through bigger storms since I've become a Christian than I would have if I wouldn't have become a Christian. If you're following Jesus, you're going to go through some bigger storms. But that's all right. I'd rather be in a storm in the boat with Jesus than be outside of the boat without Jesus. And so you can expect, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to face some storms. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as some strange thing happen unto you. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. And the Lord lets us know, verse 16 of 1, are you listening? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet, if any man be a Christian, let him not be ashamed. 1 Peter 4:16 says that all will suffer godly in Christ Jesus. All that follow the Lord. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse number 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If any man suffer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. I reckon the present suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Well, so I'm going to follow Jesus. Are you really going to follow Jesus? Expect the storms. The storms are going to come. Every once in a while, you know what somebody tell me? See if they tell you this. They say, Pastor, little things don't bother me. Have you ever heard that? I don't believe it. I said, I don't believe it. You know why I don't believe it? You let me get a mosquito and turn that rascal in your room at night and let that thing buzz around your ear and bite you all night long and tell me little things don't bother you. Man, I tell you what, you'll be up all night long, and that little thing will bother you. If somebody said, you know the difference in a mosquito and an IRS man, don't you? A mosquito and an IRS man? Jan, your dad, Charles, was working with the IRS. Me and him used to joke about this all the time. I said, Brother Charles, you know the difference in a mosquito and an IRS man? He said, no, what's the difference? I said, one's a blood-sucking parasite, the other's an insect. You figure that out, all right? You figure that out. But look, hey, look. Through the storms, you're going to, if you're following Jesus, the biggest storms I face. Did you read the paper last week? Did you hear about what happened to the pastor who spoke at a high school devotion in Arkansas? All he did was talk about teamwork to the football players on the football field. Well, it stirred up a hornet's nest. Y'all hear about that? ACLU and the freedom, not for religion, but the freedom from religion crowd got in there, stirred it up, and started saying, this and you can't do this, you can't do that. I want to tell you something. I want to thank God for right now, even the last few years, Jasper County High School, to God be the glory. They've invited us in to preach the Word of God, and I can get a witness right over here, and I can get a witness right over here. There were probably 75 football players and coaches that they invited us to feed the team for the last 3 years, and then give me an opportunity, can imagine, give Pastor Randy an opportunity to preach the Word of God just like we would do right here in church. I'm talking about a public high school right there. Wait a minute, don't go tell anybody and erase this on the tape. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and tell them and go ahead and put it on the tape. But hey, right here in the God bless into the cafeteria, and God gave us an open door. I'm telling you, God said, I'll set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And the doors God shuts, no man can open. I'm telling you, we, the minority, are standing on the authority, and we're to reach the majority with the gospel. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woo! Glory! Boy, that's God. That's God. Praise His holy name. And so pray that God will continue to open doors for you and me as we have the love unleashed and getting the goodness of God, the love of Christ in our community. Well, when you follow Jesus, you're going to go through some storms. That's why we ought to call upon the name of the Lord today, because some of you are in a storm. Tell me, what kind of storm are you facing? Listen, beloved, this whole world, and namely our nation, but I thank God for what God is doing in our nation, but if the devil has his way, the devil crowd has his way, and they will attack you, brother, that some of the most fierce attacks that I've ever gone through in my life have been as a result of following the Lord, but that's all right. Hey, they can take the Ten Commandments down from the courthouse if they want to. They can tell us we can't pray, and young people, you can't pray in school, and they'll tell you you can't read the Bible in school. They can do all of this and try to take our liberties away, but one thing, I want you to be real clear on it. You can't take Jesus out of my heart. Woo! You can't take the Lord out of my heart. Well, I want to tell you something. If you're salt and light, you're going to sting this old world. You hear me? Well, maybe that's why some of us aren't better salt, brighter light. I'm not talking about being a Pharisee here. I'm just talking about get the salt out of the salt shaker, all right? And by the way, I've told you all this before. Have you ever been to a restaurant? You've seen somebody take a salt shaker and boy, they just empty the whole salt on something they got on their plate. I'm not talking about that. Just cause somebody might enter, y'all with me now? Wait a minute, I got to use my words carefully here. Just because somebody out there is standing on the streets and acting like a, young people call it idiot, but anyway, just cause they're standing on the street and saying in the name of God, God told me to say this, and it's just idiotic, to be honest with you. Just because they're pouring the whole salt shaker out on this whole community, it shouldn't keep us from using salt. See, a lot of people run and hide because of some thing going on in the secular media. Make no mistake about it. Listen to me. The secular media is going to come after you too. Can y'all hear me? I said the secular media is going to come after you, and they're going to attack us as a church, and they're going to do everything they can to discredit the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in this community. Hey, brothers, hey, sisters, we're in a battle. but the battle's the Lord's, is it not? It's not time to go AWOL. It's not time to get slack. It's not time to get lukewarm. It's not time to go at ease in Zion. If we ever needed some men and women to stand up and like you're doing, to stand up and not let up and not back up, but just keep on looking up, it's right now. We need some mighty soldiers. We need some men and women who are full of faith and full of God, who won't care about the devil's crowd, and lift up the banner of the cross and share the gospel, reaching lost souls with the good news, because people still die and go to hell without God. But the gospel is the power of God. Soldiers, stand up. Yeah. Don't go to sleep. Number two, there's a second reason. If you'll notice this right here, here is the location of our Lord. He performed the Beatitudes right here. If you can see that in the back, you may not be able to. Some of you may be able to see it. But anyway, and then from there, you'll notice the storm on the sea. The disciples decided to follow him. I mentioned to you earlier, here's the location of the Sea of Galilee. It'll help you get your bearings when you see it on a map. And then you'll notice the Jordan River runs into what's called the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on planet Earth. Right down here, 1,200 feet below sea level, I believe, is the dimensions. However, 13 miles wide, 7 miles long. And guess what? At the deepest point, the lake is only 150 feet deep. Now, these disciples were fishermen. They had been on the Sea of Galilee numerous times, right? Sure they had. It's a beautiful place, by the way. But wait a minute. There's a second thought. It's better to be in a storm with Jesus than anywhere else without him. Some of you are going through a storm today. You say, Lord, have you forgotten me? And that's why you need to call upon the Lord today. Yes, you can. Well, what do disciples do? Notice this. I ran across this. I thought this is a very important statement. Don't miss it. Sometimes the storm is a part of the plan. Can I camp there for a moment? Can I camp there for a moment? Is it all right? What do you mean, brother pastor? A storm. You mean a good God would allow me to go through a storm? That's exactly what I mean. Why? Why would God allow me to be in a storm? I'll tell you why. Number one reason is because sometimes we forget about God until we go through a storm. And we forget about the steel, the harbor, until we get in a storm, and it's then that we turn to God. Somebody, God is ringing your bell this morning. You're saying you're forgetting God, and I don't want to have to send a storm in your life, but there might be a storm on the horizon. Don't forget God. Serve him with gladness. Worship him in spirit and truth. By the way, some storms, not just because to bring us back to the Lord, but some storms are to make us stronger, make us more usable. Once we've been through the storm, you know that there's other storms that other people are going through, and they're looking for hope. I said people are looking for hope today. And you've got hope, and I've got hope. The hope is in God. He's the God of all hope, Romans 15 and 13. And people need to know, can I make it through the storm? I'm right now in the middle of a storm. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I've tried this and tried that. The storm's got a purpose and a reason. Jesus might be asleep on the boat, and I can hear some disciples saying, but God, if you loved me, I wouldn't be going through the storm. Lord, the boat's about to sink. Maybe the Lord is using a storm in your life to prepare you for something bigger / something greater. Can you lift up your hands and say, hallelujah, Lord? Somebody needs to. Somebody needs to. Thank you, Jesus. I don't understand. I don't understand, Lord. I'd rather not go through the storm, but God, I know you're in control. By the way, number two, the second reason why you and I ought to call upon the name of the Lord today. It's because, notice, when you follow Jesus in a storm, you will, what? Face some fear. Say it with me. Face some fear. Say it with me. Face some fear. Do you see in verse 25 and 26 of the text? You see what the disciples said? You see what happens in verse 25 and 26. Look at it again. His disciples came to him. They're in the middle of the storm. The boat is filling up with water. They said, they woke him up and said, Lord, save us. We perish. He said to them, why are you fearful, O you little faith? Can I tell you why the disciples, in my opinion, were afraid? See if this is what makes you afraid and me afraid. Do you know why they were afraid? Why do we get afraid? Why do we face fear? Can I tell you why? Because things get out of our control. That's why the disciples were afraid. Things were out of their control. Now, I will say something, whether you agree with it or not. Man, and all of his sophisticated technology, and I thank God for all that, man can't stop the wind. You let these tornadoes and hurricanes blow up. Man's so big and so bad, why can't man stop the wind? Man can't do it. Only God can control the wind. We're not as big as we think we are when it comes to God. By the way, did you hear about somebody said, a storm and a man are a lot alike. A storm and a man are a lot alike. The answer is, you know why? Because there's nothing you can do to change them. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's nothing you can do to change. I don't know about that. I know God can change them. Amen. He's the master of the sea. But look, they were afraid. Why? Because things were out of control. I'm talking to somebody right now. Things are out of your control. But if I could just control this, if I could just change this, but you can't, and it's thrown you into a tailspin, and consequently you're facing fear and anxiety because it's something you can't control and I can't control. But oh, praise God, God is in control. And I want to tell you, though he's asleep in the boat, he still knows what's going on. He still's got our best interests in mind. Yes, like we sang a moment ago, trials dark on every hand, yet we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us through that blessed promised land. But we're trusting in the Lord. I said, we're trusting in the Lord. I said, go ahead and tell the devil, I'm trusting in the Lord. Go ahead and tell the fear of the flesh, the phobia, I'm trusting in the Lord. Go ahead and say, I'm going to trust the Lord no matter what comes through. Yes, we're trusting in the Lord. No matter our phobias, no matter our fears, thank God we've got a refuge. Praise God. Jesus is our refuge. He will stand the test of time. And no matter whatever storm you're facing, I'm glad, praise God, that he'll speak peace to us in the middle of the storm. Has he done that for you? You know phobias. We all have phobias, don't we? How many are scared of spiders? I heard about one woman, she got bitten by a brown recluse, and she found several other right there in the same place recently. How many are scared of snakes? I saw one just the other day. How many are scared of bridges? How many are scared of the dark? You hear about one little girl, Brother Josh, bless your heart, brother. I heard about one little girl went running in a room, and she said, Mama, come in the room. Please come in the room. There's a storm outside. It's lightning and thunder, and I'm scared. Mama, come on in my room. And then the mama went in the room, sat down at the bed, at the little girl's bed. She said, Mama, will you please stay in here all night with me? And the mama said, well, honey, I'll stay in here with you for a little while, but I'm going to go back in there to be with Dad. And the little girl said, the big sissy. Hey, look, the storms are real. The storms are real. And phobias. You know, some people are afraid of storms. I'm not going to call any names. Storms. Afraid of storms. I'm not going to call any names. Tornadoes, hurricanes, fear is real, phobia. Well, what do we do when we're in the storm? Speaking of the storms, things get out of control. I'll never forget, a few years ago, our son and I was fishing a number of years ago. We were in a boat. By the way, it was a barred boat. We barred it from a man. You know who I'm barred it from? Terry Savage, Brother Kenneth. You used to work with Terry, and Terry's a good guy. Some of you may know Terry. We barred this aluminum boat. It's a John boat, 10-foot, you know, having a great time fishing over there on by the lake. And, man, we were catching bass, just having a great time. And you know, one of these John boats, and had a seat in there, and he had a seat in there. And about, you know, you sit down for about 2 hours. You want to stand up for a little while. And so I said, we're going to stretch our legs. I mean, no, that's not a good idea. Anyway, he stood up. I stood up. We started fishing a little bit more. And about that time, he leaned one way. I leaned the other. And you know what happened. The boat flipped over. We went down into this lake. My glasses went all the way down to the bottom. My fishing pole, the tackle box. And the boat had turned over and would start filling up with water. You know what I started thinking about? Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye. No, I really didn't. I didn't think of that. I thought about, hey, what am I going to do? And so we ended up turning the boat back over and bailing out the water. And praise God, we were able to get back in the boat. But sometimes things get out of control. You ever got things out of your control? Well, fear is real, and there's some things that are happening in our life right now, you know, wondering, what about when I get older? Am I going to be able to do all this stuff? What about physically? Am I going to be able to, you know, young people, teenagers, fear of, you know, going to school nowadays with all the guns and stuff going on in school, and young adults, fear of providing for family, a job, and where am I going to be able to provide for my family and pay for house and vehicles and all the repairs and so forth. Middle age, same thing. And senior adults facing fear, limitations. My body is things with my fear. Money, is the money going to run out? Fear, phobias. We've got to face our fear. Hey, look, when you follow Jesus, you can expect to go through a storm. When you follow Jesus, you're going to face some fears. And there's some of us today that we need to call upon the name of the Lord because we're facing some fears, aren't we? Insecurity. Things are out of our control. I wish I could control this. I wish I could control this, but I can't. But I want to tell you something. You can call upon the name of the Lord. I said you can call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Because he will, watch this. He will turn your fear. And look at him. He's asleep in the boat. I love that. There's the disciples. And by the way, the Sea of Galilee really does get choppy. It really does. And the disciples are absolutely afraid. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? These were grown men. These were fishermen. They were afraid. Why? Things were out of their control. Face your fears. That's the first thing you need to do today. Some of us need to get with God and face our fears. And you know who you are. And you know what we do? We try to camouflage. We try to suppress our feelings. We try to act like it's not there, but it's there, and we got to deal with it. We need to face it. When you say, dear God, I'm going to trust you anyway, that's when the breakthrough comes. As long as we're running from our fears and hiding from our fears and afraid to face our fears, that then we're going to stay in a spirit of timidity. As Paul said to Timothy, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of sound mind, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, in the context of living godly, but face your fears. How many today need to face your fears? You've been living in fear. You've been running and hiding. Well, that leads us to number three. When you face your fears, you don't forget now. When you go through a storm, don't forget to call upon the name of the Lord, because he can turn your fear into faith. I like this part. He can turn your fear into faith. Again, zero in verse 26 and 27 of the text. Look what the Lord said. He said to them, why are ye so fearful? Why are you so fearful? All ye of little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves, even the winds and the sea obey him? How many today need to call upon the name of the Lord? You've been facing some insecurities, hadn't you? You've been facing some fears. What if? What if we sink? What if we go under? What if I drown? What if I can't swim? What if Jesus doesn't save me? What about it? Hey, I've often said, and it may not be the absolute worst, but think about it. Worst thing could happen, you could die and go to heaven. That don't sound too bad. Hello? Really? That worst thing can happen, I can die and go to heaven. You see what I'm talking about? Facing your fear, facing your insecurities. Go ahead and face them. And don't run from them. And you know what? He can calm your storm. He can calm your storm. You trust him today? Calm your storm? Some of you are going through some storms, aren't you? And you got fear and you got insecurities. And God's saying, I'll calm your storm. You're safer in the storm in the will of God than on the shore out of the will of God. I say yea and amen. It's a faith test. How you doing? You passing the test? Are you passing the faith test? Oh, you have little faith. It's a test of faith, is it not? The test of faith is the rest of faith, and the best of faith is the test of faith that rests in faith. Are you resting in faith in God? Oh, but Pastor, I you don't know what I'm going. I know I may not, but let me tell you something. Do you believe that sometimes God can use our weakness and bring about something stronger in our life than we've ever known before? Do you believe that? I believe that. Can I tell you what I mean by that? I heard a story about, whether it be true or not, I'm not positive, but it's a moving story, to say the least. A young boy, 10 years old, was in a car accident, terrible accident. He lost his left arm. His arm was severed from his body. How many know that's not good? 10-year-old boy. And that 10-year-old boy was afraid and fearful. And so, with the encouragement of his parents, he decided to take up judo. And the boy just had one arm. He was at a disadvantage at the very get-go. Master instructor was a Chinese champion, judo instructor. And that boy, as he went through the training the first week, the second week, the third week, the fourth week, that judo instructor taught him one move, one move, one move. That's all he taught him, one move, over and over and over and over again. One move, that's all he taught him, how to do one move. Week after week after week after week after month, he taught him that one move. That's all he learned, one move. And then the masterful instructor said, it's time to compete. So he, 10-year-old boy, began to compete in judo. And his first match, the 10-year-old boy pinned him without a blink of an eye. I mean, it was just that quick. Second match, pinned him again. Third match, pinned him again. Fourth match, pinned him again. Finally, he got a little bit more in competition, and one person went for him, but he made a wrong move, and the little boy pinned him. Every opponent that boy pinned. Until finally, he was going to face the champion of champions in judo. The guy he was facing was a lot bigger. The guy he was facing was a lot stronger. The guy he was facing was a lot quicker and much more experienced. So as they began to get on the floor and began to compete to see who would be the champion, the referee was afraid the little boy would get hurt, causing comparison to what the other the opponent was stronger, bigger, faster, more experienced. And the referee said to the coach of the little boy, said, I'm afraid that he's going to get hurt. I don't want to see him get hurt. The masterful coach, his instructor said, nah, leave him in there. He'll be okay. They went back and forth and back and forth, and it was a intense match. And finally, at the end of the match, the big, strong, faster boy made a mistake, and the little boy with one arm pinned him just like that. The match was over. He was champion, the 10-year-old boy, champion. On the way home, the little boy said to the coach, the master instructor, he said, oh, I don't get it. I've been taking judo now for these many months, and all you taught me was one move. I don't understand. The master instructor told him this. He said, there's two reasons why you won the championship match today. He said, well, what are they? He said, number one, is that move you've mastered is the best move you can make in judo. It's the most effective move you can make. And he said, well, what about number two? The judo instructor said to him, said, son, there's only one way to counter that move in judo, that good movement I'm talking about. And the way to counter it, he said, you got to grab the opponent's left arm. Thing that sometimes we feel like is our weakness might be as God gives us strength to overcome even our fears and phobias. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's stand together.